Hag Sameach, and welcome to the Shofar Ministries program. This is Dan with my vivacious partner in life, Reverend Sheila Crawford.
Well, thank you, my dear, and I hope the listeners had a great Resurrection Sunday with many opportunities to present the true gospel to any of your unsaved loved ones.
Amen.
And since technically we are still in the week of Feast of Unleavened Bread, we thought it appropriate to talk about something else that happened during a way in the past Passover season, also on Nisan 14, 6 months prior to Jesus' birth at Tabernacles.
An important event that many Christians don't talk about.
That's right. But first, let's bow our hearts in prayer.
Abba, Father, as we continue this week to reflect on the Passover season, we again thank you with immense gratitude for sending your Son to pay the debt for our sins, and because of his resurrection, we know we will live forever. We pray for the many prayer requests of your church body, and specifically for the needs of those listening right now, suffering from any severe disease, as well as the many victims of the Ukrainian war. May you provide all their needs. And because we know you will carry us through all our afflictions as we take shelter under your wing. Bless tonight's teaching, and may it be to your glory. We ask this in Yeshua's name. Amen.
Amen.
Well, Biden's poll numbers are going way down.
For sure. Even amongst the Democrats, especially the younger voters, because they expected more as he campaigned on canceling all student debt.
Didn't happen.
Not yet, but since the Dems know they must do something before November 4th, it wouldn't surprise me if he does cancel student debt soon before the election.
That might help him.
If it's not too late already, look at the gas prices, our own border mayhem, and it's expected to worsen when Biden lets Title 42 expire next month. The rising crime because Democratic leaders have severely eased the consequences.
And the rising debt.
And inflation.
Yes.
Especially now with the war in Ukraine, that Biden blames everything on, as we knew he would, when actually it had already began, helped by the Federal Reserve, who manipulates interest rates and keeps printing more money, which undermines the value of our dollar.
Yeah, and sanctions don't help much.
Right. Russia is just selling its gas and oil to China and others much cheaper and in rubles.
Yeah, America's in a bad place.
And Biden often looks so lost and confused. He even tried reaching out to shake hands when there's nobody next to him. He frequently lies about his past. It's really sad that they even let him run for president, even when Obama told him not to run.
And where was his wife to let this happen?
She, of all people, knew of his condition. Whatever you think of him, this is a gloomy situation.
And don't think our enemies know it.
They do know it,
mm-hmm.
Which is a big reason for this war in Ukraine, which the deep state oligarchs have always wanted another world war. So how long before we put boots on the ground? I feel it's coming where American soldiers will have to die.
Well, Republicans are calling for a red wave in the November elections.
Well, there should be, if they don't do some kind of a false flag to once again allow for massive mail-in or tampered computer voting in order to fraudulently fix it in their favor.
Oh, they will try something.
Undoubtedly, they have to. Just watch. Like perhaps another serious variant to attack us, since the BA2 isn't dangerous enough. By the way, I just read an article by Harvard University scientists who concluded, after detailed studies, that one of the simplest ways to protect your body against a viral infection is to just breathe.
Unmasked, of course.
Exactly. The act of breathing, which is completely involuntary to begin with, generates immune responses that destroy most invading pathogens. Our lungs contain alveoli, which is what draws in oxygen and exchanges it with carbon dioxide for exhale. By simply breathing, your body oxygenates itself while expelling CO2 waste, which builds immunity and protects against disease.
Well, you know, we've been saying this all along.
We have, but at least now a left-leaning institution confirms that masks are harmful, especially on children.
Oh, you know, it kind of looks like they want us to be sick.
And even die. Anyhow, we thank God we know His Son and trust in Him with all our heart and do what really pleases Him.
Study His Word.
And we will, right after we tell our newer listeners how they can connect with us.
Okay, you can read the many newsletters or listen to any previous programs on our webpage, shofarministries.net. You can also send us your questions or comments by email to Sheila at shofarministries.net or just call the office and leave a detailed message to 440-834-9006 or by snail mail to Post Office Box 513, Burton, Ohio 44021. And please know how much we truly appreciate your love offerings, which can also be made on our webpage, shofarministries.net.
Okay, tonight we will conclude our teaching on the fulfilled spring feasts, which began with Passover on Nisan 14, lasting only one day from sundown to sundown. Then, starting the next day on the 15th of Nisan, it begins the 7 days of unleavened bread.
Where the first day is a high holy day,
which this year was last Friday, beginning at sundown, again also called a high Sabbath because it's treated just like a Sabbath. But what seldom happens is this year it fell also on a regular Sabbath as well.
Also, the last day of unleavened bread, Nisan 22, is also a high holy day,
which beginning Saturday at sundown till Sunday at sundown. Again, Passover is not a holy day, which is why they could take Jesus off the cross, but before sundown when unleavened bread begins. And the Feast of First Fruits, when Jesus resurrected during the morning watch, is always on the Sunday during the 7 day Feast of Unleavened Bread,
which was last Sunday.
Yes, and by the way, the Jewish people mostly ignore this day. Maybe because it's not a holy day in Scripture, but more probable because we Christians claim it as Christ's resurrection.
Which it was.
So, the one day of Passover and the 7 days of unleavened bread equals eight. So, today the Jewish people just call all 8 days the season of Passover. And tonight we will talk about a mostly unknown but still important event that happened on Passover, Nisan 14, about 2,000 years ago.
Actually, 6 months before Jesus was born.
Yes. Wait for it.
The birth of John the Baptist.
On day one of Passover.
So then, what would take place 8 days later?
You mean on the last and holy day of unleavened bread?
I do.
Well, by utilizing just the little Hebraic roots from Scripture, as in Leviticus 12:3, it's not too difficult.
Of course, John's circumcision.
Which, by the way, was a very big deal back then, a sign of the covenant, even as important as one's birth.
Well, because it's a blood covenant to God.
Yes. So, let's explain how we know this. For we have gleaned a wealth of information by just understanding one verse in the Gospel of Luke, chapter 1, verse 5. Would you read that?
There was in the days of Herod, the king of Judea, a certain priest named Zacharias of the course of Abijah. His wife was of the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth.
Okay, so the key words here are of the course, or some translations say divisions of Abijah. This is how we know when John the Baptist was not only conceived, but when he was born and therefore when Jesus was born and even incarnated. As a student of his word, it would be wise to know about these divisions of the priesthood.
As described in the book of Chronicles, chapter 24.
Yes, so let us briefly go over this. Now be careful, don't let your mind wander, so that you can easily see this too. For as you well know, by now nothing is in Scripture without good reason. We learn from Luke, verse 5, that John the Baptist's father was of the Levitical priesthood of the family known as Abijah.
Therefore, so was his son, John the Baptist.
Yes, and there were 24 families, which they termed courses of Levitical priests. And each course served 1 week of temple servitude twice a year. The family name of Abijah, according to Chronicles 24:10, would serve the 8th week of every biblical calendar, counting from Nisan, and again the 8th course on their civil calendar, which begins with Tishrei.
So, by this knowledge, we know when Zechariah served in the temple.
Right. And we read in Luke 1, verse 13, he received his revelation that Elizabeth would finally conceive and to name him John. Again, we know that each Levite family served 1 week twice a year according to the order that David, directed by God, told them. And one more important dot, 3 times a year, all the priests, all of them, would serve during Passover, on Pentecost, and during Tabernacles.
So, Zacharias would have served the 8th week plus the week at Passover.
Exactly. So that would be then the 9th week of the biblical year, which brings you right up to Pentecost.
Which is very significant.
So look at any Hebrew calendar and count 9 weeks beginning in Nisan, and you come to the time of Pentecost when all would serve. But, and this is important, they would cast lots to see who would actually have the privilege to solely burn the incense.
And surprised, it was Zacharias.
Imagine that. Which means he was alone to privately hear from the angel Gabriel. And by the way, some priests never get to burn the incense because it was always done by casting lots.
Well, in today's lingo, the throw of the dice.
Similar. Elizabeth would conceive that evening of Pentecost because we know by Luke 1, verse 15, that John the Baptist had the Holy Spirit from the time of conception. How fitting and so like God for John to be conceived on the day the Holy Spirit would later descend upon those in Jerusalem on Pentecost Sunday in Acts chapter 2.
You know, it's amazing to realize these truths of God's precise details.
Oh, it is. So anyway, voila, 280 days later brings us to Passover when John would have been born. The same day, 33 years later, Yeshua would die on the cross.
It kind of all fits like a glove.
Oh, it's truly mind-boggling. It is also a tradition at the Passover Seder meal to set a special place setting for Elijah, the Messiah's forerunner in Malachi 4, so to open the door to welcome him in.
Jesus did say that John the Baptist came in the spirit of Elijah.
Yes, in Matthew 11. And Elijah certainly was empowered by the Holy Spirit.
And Elisha as well.
But the actual infilling of the Holy Spirit came into John the Baptist while in Elizabeth's womb.
And later to the disciples in John 20, 21.
Right, and then finally to all the believers in Acts chapter 2. Now, before we read in Luke, let's now reiterate. The week of the priest service in the temple began every Sabbath. They would repeat the same order 6 months later, beginning on their civil calendar of Tishrei.
Or the second 6 months of the year.
So twice a year, the head of each priestly family would take his turn to serve in the temple.
Plus, they all served three more times at the major festivals.
Now, the reason we know Luke is referring to the first set or the first half of the biblical year of 24 weeks from Nisan is that Luke would have said in the order of his second division, but instead Luke said in the order of his division, which always means the first month of the biblical calendar.
You know, that's Hebraic Roots 101.
Mm-hmm, it is. The other reason we know this is Jesus would not begin his ministry till the age of 30. So his birthday had to be at Tabernacles, since he died at Passover and his ministry was 3.5 years. Therefore, Luke had to be referring to the first set of weeks beginning in Nisan. Also, we know from Luke that John the Baptist is 6 months older than Jesus.
And we will cover this again as we do every fall season.
At the Feast of Tabernacles.
Mm-hmm.
Now, since I usually talk quickly, let me try and give you a one-paragraph synopsis. Since we know what week of the year Zacharias served in the temple, we can know when John the Baptist was conceived at Pentecost and born on Passover. And because of that information, we can know Jesus' birth was at Tabernacles and counting back 280 days, therefore Jesus' incarnation was on the 8th day of Hanukkah. And Jesus' number is 8, meaning never ending or eternity. Now, let's read in Luke, which should really help to put it all together for you. Luke 1, starting in verse 5.
There was in the days of Herod, the king of Judea, a certain priest named Zacharias of the course of Abijah.
Again, we know what week that is from 1 Chronicles 24.
And his wife was of the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. And they were both righteous before God, walking in all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord, blameless. And they had no child, because Elizabeth was barren. And they both were now well stricken in years. And it came to pass that while he executed the priest's office before God in the order of his court.
And by the way, most Bibles should footnote 1 Chronicles 24 on how to see what week of the year this is. Continue, verse 9.
According to the custom of the priest's office, his lot was to burn incense when he went into the temple of the Lord.
Again, they would cast lots to see who would have the privilege of burning the incense in the holy place. And it's unusual to get picked, and some never did. But God wanted Zacharias to burn it for the angel Gabriel could come to him when alone with this important message. Verse 10.
And the whole multitude of the people were praying outside at the hour of incense. And there appeared unto him an angel of the Lord standing on the right side of the altar of incense. And when Zacharias saw him, he was troubled, and fear fell upon him. But the angel said unto him, Fear not, Zacharias, for thy prayer is heard, and thy wife Elizabeth shall bear thee a son, and thou shalt call his name John. For he shall be great in the sight of the Lord, and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink.
Therefore, John the Baptist would later take the vow of a Nazarite, which, by the way, Jesus did not vow.
And he shall be filled with the Holy Spirit, even from his mother's womb.
Again, very fitting that he would be conceived during Pentecost. Verse 16.
And many of the children of Israel shall he turn to the Lord their God.
Okay, the story goes on that Zacharias questioned the angel, so therefore he was struck dumb, but just temporarily. And we see verse 23, when the days of his service were completed, that he departed to his own house. And it says that after those days, now that is a phrase, and in Greek it's metatata, which means immediately. So immediately his wife Elizabeth conceived. Had to be that Pentecost evening when his temple duties at sundown were finished.
Hey, you know, he probably ran home.
You think? Anyhow, Zacharias remained mute until John. Oh, not when John was born, as most do say, but rather 8 days later. And we know that from verses 59 through 64.
Yeah, on the day of his circumcision.
Which would have been on the eighth day of the Passover season, and more precisely, the last day of the Feast of Unleavened Bread. And now you know why this day is important, especially to God, who gives us gold nuggets so we can find them.
Should we choose to.
Mm-hmm. Circumcision was a very important typology. Way back in Genesis 17, God told Abraham in verse 10 that every male among you shall be circumcised. It will be the sign of the covenant between me and you for the generations to come. Every male among you who is 8 days old must be circumcised, whether born in your household or bought with your money. They must be circumcised. My covenant in your flesh is to be an everlasting covenant. Any uncircumcised male who has not been circumcised in the flesh will be cut off from his people. He has broken my covenant. Now you might ask, why the eighth day? Well, not only is that Jesus' number, but the blood clotting vitamin K is only the highest on the eighth day after the boy's birth. The New Testament, as in Romans 4, explains how today, because of Yeshua, we are under the new covenant of faith through grace, where now it's our hearts that must be circumcised. So now you have a little more information to see how precisely detailed God is, and the importance of this final day of Passover, Nisan 22, which is this Saturday. Would you have ever even thought you could know the exact calendar day when Zacharias was able to speak again, or when John the Baptist was circumcised? How many times have you ever read Luke 1:5 and just skipped over the course of Abijah? Well, now you are part of that remnant to know the deeper truths of God and to understand that everything in His Word is there for a reason, and for you to find it, those many gold nuggets God has hidden in His Word. These treasures will be encased in your crown. Believe it. And please share. And please understand that there's only a remnant within the church body that desire to know the deeper truths of God. And I hope that you are one of them. Why else would you be listening to this program? The major question is, how about your heart? Is it circumcised? How well do you know Him? Is He personal to you? You can invite Him in right now. Jesus, your Savior, who has totally paid your debt. Or do you prefer to pay it yourself? Again, it's always your choice. I want to leave you with the ironic blessing from Number 6:22. The Lord will bless you and keep you. The Lord will make His face shine upon you and be gracious to you. And the Lord will lift up His countenance upon you and give you that special peace, that shalom that passes all understanding. Till next time, sha'alu shalom, Yerushalayim. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Those who love her, well, you're going to prosper in all different kinds of ways. That's Psalm 122, verse 6. Till next time, shalom.
Thanks for listening to this week's broadcast from Shofar Ministries, hosted by Sheila Crawford on AM 1220, The Word. If you would like to help keep this show on the air, please visit the Shofar Ministries website, shofarministries.net. That's all one word, shofarministries.net. Once you're there, click the donate button on the left side of the page, and it will take you to the PayPal secure payment site. If you don't use the internet, you can send your check or money order donation to the following address, Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. That's Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. For any questions or comments about this program, please send an email to Sheila at the following address, Sheila@ShofarMinistries.net. That's Sheila@ShofarMinistries.net. Please join us next Tuesday night at 8 for Shofar Ministries right here on AM 1220, The Word. The preceding program was brought to you by Shofar Ministries.